Chapter 34, Hacking at Reality. Azrael was the type to go to hell just to prove it couldn't hold him. If he was in hell, the creators lacked vision and ingenuity. The low poly reality was designed to be a prison. He was confident he wasn't dead, and he could see past the illusions. In addition, he was receiving fragmented sensory feedback from the real world. He heard Yasmin moaning erotically and calling his name. He saw glimpses of her in the bedroom mirror. The silver pane showed Yasmin's scarred athletic body spread naked on his polar bear rug. His father, the devil, had taken her to bed wearing his skin. Azrael would have to find a better explanation beyond "the devil made me do it" when he escaped the mental prison. Azrael searched the artificial set of his penthouse for something solid. The first step in hacking reality was figuring out the rules, then finding ways to break them. He intended to see what he could physically break first and how the simulator reacted. Of course, there were no weapons and armor, just plastic chairs and other low-density items. His body would have to become his weapon. Azrael punched the door with all his might and felt a sensation of pain in his hands. "I'm getting a simulated response to my nervous system," he confirmed as he continued. "What happens if I overload the circuit?" He considered. "I'll either pass out and drift to another area of consciousness, or the simulation will crash with effects to be determined," Azrael said. He stopped banging the door with his fist and began hitting his head against it. The pain flared, but he continued. "What are you doing, Azrael?" Cardboard Sophia asked, running to his side. She grabbed him with a force that he could only perceive as violence. She wasn't placed there for aesthetics or companionship. She was security. Cardboard Sophia tried to put him in an arm bar and restrain him. Azrael pivoted and hit the low poly enforcer in the face with an open palm. Even the texture of the flesh felt off. Perhaps it was done deliberately because Sophia was solid and unfazed. The impact on his hand was harder than the door. "Let's see what you got," Azrael told the enforcer of the Matrix as he put his hands up in a boxer's stance. "Let's see what kind of martial arts are hard-coded into your programming." He told the simulation of his dead wife as he threw a stiff right jab. The blow connected with Sophia's chin, but she ate the punch for breakfast and then asked for more. Sophia stepped into Azrael's assault, unfazed and unoffended. She began to bob and weave in a fast, blurring rhythm. Maybe she's here for entertainment and fitness, he thought, nodding. He was slightly enjoying his sparring match with Cardboard Sophia. He dropped down to throw a spinning kick that landed in her abdomen. If the physics mirrored Earth in that world, he would have sent her flying across the room. The physics did not abide by the known laws of terrestrial physics, nor were they the least bit accurate. If Azrael had to take a guess, the enforcer's weight was variable, was set to 600 pounds at a minimum. He made this determination with a spinning mule kick, and the result of the impacted. The kick he landed would have produced at least 500 pounds of force and sent the real Sophia flying across the room. In the reality he was in, the kick didn't seem to produce any force, and two-ton Cardboard Sophia continued her assault. Although the effect was not as desired, the information could still serve him. "Could I make her ram the door like a bull?" he thought as he pivoted around the enforcer, forcing her to turn. Azrael wondered what he would do when he got outside of the penthouse. He wondered if the prison extends beyond his simulated domicile. Then he considered what would happen if he let her knock him out. Azrael dropped his guard and ate the massive power punch on the chin. There was a massive surge of electricity running up his jaw and then a brilliant white flash. The Matrix glitched, and for a moment, he was able to see through his own eyes in the real world before fading to a lower level of unconsciousness. He saw that his father was ravishing another beautiful woman in his skin. He cringed as he considered the responsibilities he'd face when he escaped. He would inherit all the duties without experiencing the pleasures to acquire them. He awoke in a dark, formless region he could only assume was the back end of his mind. He was in his astral form, and he drifted freely through memories and past experiences. He watched his birth to his childhood, to his military career, to his rise in politics and his recent incapacitation. All these memories were experienced as a passive observer. He acknowledged they were all in the past and moved forward to point in which he was last conscious. He came to a fork of light on his astral path of memories. The fork turned to an elaborate tree with near infinite branches pointing in every direction. Each branch was a different future, a route of possibilities for his life to take. Growing frustrated with viewing infinity, Azrael flew straight on a path that seemed to extend forever. "This is the path I choose," Azrael said aloud as he flew by nearly at the speed of light. He saw fragments of the future as he whizzed by memories yet to occur. He saw a great battle with the devil and the Christ, and he emerged triumphant. He left the Earth to colonize the moon on his way to Mars. He faced a greater threat to the solar system there and vanquished them with his might and wisdom. Azrael went further and saw a great palace erected on the moon of Europa with a breathtaking view of the giant jewel known as Jupiter. The giant red dot swirled with a violent storm that brewed for millennia. After Jupiter's storm settled, Azrael expanded his empire to one of Saturn's many moons, Enceladus. His palace there allowed him to observe Saturn in all her splendor. He awed at the rings of ice crystals that encircled that champagne marble. Eventually, he left Saturn and the solar system to head to the heart of the Milky Way galaxy. He had long since shed his mortality. Still, he kept his flesh and blood, heart and brain in sealed containers as tokens of his humanity. He was a fully cybernetic being who fed on light and electrons. The banner of his empire flew with him as he encountered and conquered the many alien civilizations along the way. Although he was arguably the most powerful being in the known universe, he felt out of touch, disconnected in his sun-sized cyber-sentient form. As his power grew, so did technology, and he synthesized his genetic code and printed a fleshly body for him to walk in. His story, history, repeats itself. Every time he conquered a new world, a faction would call him their equivalent to the Antichrist. Sometimes, but not all the time, strange and mysterious phenomenon occurred. Still, Azrael always vanquished his enemies and continued to expand the empire. He traversed through millions of years and vast light years through space, conquering everything in his wake. He absorbed entire civilizations into his grand, godlike superconscious. Finally, the road split into two paths. One reality led to his demise, when Azrael decided to let the universe run its course, compress into a big crunch, and reset reality. The other path, where Azrael used advanced technology to move the stars to the far corners of the universe to disperse the gravity threatening to squash everything within its confines. He continued along the path of conquest, and it all appeared to be a fractal, elaborate repetitions on a grander scale. If any of these realities were to occur, he needed to get back into the driver's seat of his conscious mind. From his vantage point in the future, he could see the silver cord connected to his astral form and leading back to his physical body. He followed the silver cord to the windows of his soul. The devil was stirring. He did not sleep. Still, Azrael was no longer sleeping in the back seat. His was the passenger now.